World Roots was introduced by Marianne Kennedy and the producer was Roger Short. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. Now it's time for this week's festive jazz lineup.
Hello, I'm Tina May and I'm going to be with you on this week's jazz lineup.
And I'm Dennis Rollins and I'm also on this week's jazz lineup, being interviewed by Julian Joseph.
Well, thank you, guys. Yes, hello from me, Julian Joseph, for this week's jazz lineup. You've met my guests, and they'll be along just as soon as I put on my Santa's outfit. And here's Satchmo to give me a hand.
Every gal strutting with her bow through the streets covered white with snow. Happy smiles everywhere you go. It's Christmas night in Harlem. People are feeling mighty good in that good old neighborhood. Yeah, it now be it understood. Christmas night in Harlem. Oh, everyone is gonna sit up until after three. Everyone, we be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe, greet your sweet neat the mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Sit up until after three. Everyone be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Come on now, every Jane and Joe, greet your sweet niece the mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Full of belly to it. Oh, what a night in Harlem. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe, I greet your sweet neat the mistletoe with a kiss and a go.
The great Louis Armstrong with Benny Carter and his orchestra from 1955, Ring Christmas Bells. And our belle of the ball is Tina May, who joins me across the mince pies to talk about this Christmas, gigs and her new CD with an all-Parisian quintet called No More Hanky Panky. Welcome, Tina.
Hi,
it's really nice to see you. So, listeners will recognise your various adaptations of well-known jazz repertoire. The title track is one of two such tamperings on the work of the great tenor legend Dexter Gordon. And I know that you're interested in all different types of repertoire. You sing in French, you're into musical theatre, you're quite open.
Absolutely, and I've always been a bit of a scribbler and I love writing lyrics. Mm-hmm. So, the title, No More Hanky Panky, is an allusion to Hanky Panky, the Dexter Gordon tune. And I've written some lyrics to that and other things. And, of course, it's part of the whole Paris thing because everyone loved Dexter in Paris.
They got it right over there on the continent. Well, shall we get straight into some music?
Yeah.
Well, this is new.
To toe, You've got me so I'm spellbound. I don't know if I am heaven or hellbound. This is new. Is it Venus insisting that I'm through with a shadowy past? I'm held up to another world, world where life is bliss, and this is new. Oh, this is new.
Tina May with her Paris Quintet and This Is New. Now, I know that that was taken from Lady in the Dark, and you do two such pieces from it on the album.
Yeah.
So it's like Dexter, Kurt Weill, and a mixture of other things.
Yeah, but it's all sort of under the same umbrella because The Lady in the Dark was written by Kurt Weill and Ira Gershwin, 1941, when Kurt Weill hit Broadway, and he just fell in love with jazz. And that whole score, which has My Ship, This Is New, Saga of Jenny, some really groovy tunes, I think was very much from the heart. And I felt very comfortable singing those songs, even though one of the songs I sang 30 feet in the air, strapped to a machine in this fantastic production by the Opera de Lyon.
Okay.
So it was a real show.
Singing and flying.
Oh, yeah.
It's all related. you do a solo version. Well, you certainly do a solo introduction to My Ship.
Yeah.
And tell me what that's like, because I guess that really exposes you completely.
Mm. Well, in the show, which is all about a woman who's having a real crisis, can't take any decisions. She's a high flyer in her career, and she starts seeing a shrink, basically, which was uncommon in 1941 in Broadway, strangely enough. And she talks about her dreams, and all her dreams begin with this strain of the melody of My Ship. And it's a bit like the movie of The Wizard of Oz. In real life, it's all monochrome. But of course, we can do anything in our dreams, can't we? We can fly, and suddenly it's all technicolor and amazing. But all her dreams start off nice and then turn into nightmares.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting score, and it's a great show, actually.
And so when it, with the performance that you do on the album, you're depicting really a lot of that journey.
Yeah, it is. And my ship, the duo album, just myself and Patrick, a lot of that was improvised.
Mm-hmm.
He really takes it in a sort of dark place, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, the prettiness of my ship, which is really interesting.
Well, let's have a listen to Tina May singing My Ship.
Ships aglow with a million pearls and rubies fill each bin. The sun sits high in a sapphire sky when my ship. The ship I sing
Tina May from the album No More Hanky Panky and My Ship. Tell us about the musicians. I mean, we just heard Patrick playing.
Patrick, I have known Patrick, and in fact most of the people in this band, since I was a student in Paris, since 1982. Mm-hmm. And I met Patrick and Pascal, first of all, and we were working with Roger Guérin, big band. I've really got lucky, I guess. And the drummer with that band was Kenny Clark. Wow. So I got to work with him twice a month. It was fantastic. But we've all kept in touch. 10 years ago, we did a live recording at the Meridian at the Lionel Hampton Club. And we just have a real... I can't say. It's a sort of synergy, really. We've always worked together on and off for 30 years. And... There is a lovely Frenchness to their playing. I can't explain it, but to me they sound Parisian. There are so many different influences. Pascal, why I did this very much around Dexter is that I always felt that Pascal had a dexterishness to his sound, and he's a fan as well. So that's why I wrote lyrics to Cheesecake and... Hanky Panky.
Just tell me a little bit more about being a fan of Dexter Gordon. I'm interested in that.
Well, apart from the fact that I don't think he ever plays an extraneous note. I never feel in any of his solos that he plays just for the hell of it. I feel he really means every phrase he plays. But there is also such a humour and playfulness to his compositions, whether it's Fried Bananas or Hanky Panky, which I think Hanky Panky is the sense of, you know, telling your kids, hey, no more Hanky Panky, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a sort of fun. There's a real fun sort of element to his things. All the stories of the people who worked with Dexter in Paris, and I'm lucky to know a lot of people who did. They have such fondness of the man. If you want to check out another composition he's done one called Le Coiffeur. And it's a sort of playful cha-cha-cha. And you can literally see this this coiffeur mincing across his salon and dancing. And he's just so lovely. There's something very human about him. And I do have a friend, David Herridge, who was a student at the time, and he had to dep for the piano player who was taken either drunk or just indisposed, who was supposed to be backing him. And he didn't know too many tunes. And Dexter was really kind and didn't do the big, OK, let's do this, you know, breakneck pace. He sort of said, well, OK, so what do you know?
So bringing this all together in your Paris quintet and bringing that Frenchness, because, of course, he has the famous album Our Man in Paris... Yeah, it all ties together really nicely.
Yeah.
So Patrick Villanueva, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
He is the pianist. And Pierre Mangour,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And
Vincent Cordelette.
Vincent yes. Cordelette.
Yes.
Excuse me, Vincent. Vincent. And Pascal Gobert.
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
He's playing tenor saxophone.
And I first saw Pascal when he was a student, 1982, busking on the metro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have to remember that in Paris, mm-hmm. after the war, you know, Paris was such a sad place during the war, but afterwards, and they had the GIs and they had jazz. Jazz hit big time. And everyone felt such comfort. Well, I don't know. I mean, they were accepted. You know, black musicians didn't have any of the racism mm-hmm. that they encountered mm-hmm. in their own countries. They were really, you know, prized for their talent. And even now, you know, you'll say, oh, people might say in England or wherever, you know, oh, well, what's your day job? No. Vous êtes artiste. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a real respect for everything in the arts, and they feel comfortable. Whereas over here, say somebody starts singing or playing where you're not expecting them, I think maybe people would quickly hurry by. But in Paris, you'll soon have a crowd because they'll stop and say, oh, what's this? Oh, I'm gonna see what's happening. You know, there's a curiosity, I think.
Well, it comes through in this record and in your previous work, actually, that Paris and the French experience is very dear to your heart.
Oh, yes.
And it's very dear to your music. And another another aspect to this record is that you pay homage to the great bass player, or the great bass playing and writing of Paul Chambers.
Oh, yes.
And you feature Pierre Mango on bass. So just tell us a little bit about that track.
Well, it's called Chillin'.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about things going really well in your romance, and you really don't want anyone to phone you up or pay you a visit because you're busy chilling.
Well, Tina, thank you so much for coming in and speaking about your music
about
this new record, No More Hanky Panky, featuring your Paris Quintet on 33 Records. I think we should go out on Chillin'.
Great.
Friends, just listen up, please. Be polite, because I'm chilling with my baby tonight. You better not ring that phone. Lean on the bell, because we're in here and things are starting to gel. Don't everybody out of sight. I'm chilling with my baby tonight. Chilling tonight. My baby has a real fine appetite. That's why I'm chilling with my baby tonight. We're chasing absolute with ginger beer. Don't you even think of coming round here. Everybody out of sight, I'm chilling with my baby tonight. Chilling with my baby tonight. Boom, boom, ba-da-dam, ba-da-ba-da, boo-ba-da-boo-ba-yum. I'm chilling with my baby tonight. Oh, baby, everybody out of sight. I'm chilling with my baby tonight. Chilling. Everybody out of sight. I'm chilling with my baby tonight. Chilling tonight.
That was Chilling from Tina May's new CD, No More Hanky Panky, out on 33 Records. And look out for her gigs on January the 11th. She's in London at the Pizza Express in Soho. Ian Shaw and Joe Stilgar also perform. January the 14th in London, she's at the Bull's Head in Barnes, and that's with her quartet. And January 27th, she's in Wavendon at the Stables doing an Edith Piaf celebration. And Tina May's at Ronnie Scott's for Valentine's Day on February the 14th. And thank you, Tina, for popping by. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, and we are online, on FM, and on DAB Digital Radio. Now to one of the music's preeminent musicians with his own special arrangement of this festive favourite. Thank you. Yes, the inimitable Charlie Parker in 1948, and White Christmas with cohorts Kenny Dorham on trumpet, Al Haig on piano, Tommy Potter on bass, and Max Roach on the drums. What a treat to have such giants playing to honour the season. From the heart of New York, well, we stay in the UK for saxophonist Derek Nash and his latest offering. The saxophone of Derek Nash and Five Brothers, with the trio of Jan Lundgren on piano, Jeff Gascoigne is on bass, and Steve Brown is on drums. The album is called Snapshot and out on his very own label, Jazz Is It. And you can catch him tomorrow night at the King's Head in Bexley. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, and we are online, on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. That's just a few bars of Emergence, taken from the new Dennis Rollins album, The 11th Gate. It's out on Motema Records, and Dennis Rollins joins me on the line from BBC Radio Sheffield. Hi, Dennis.
Hello there, Julian.
It seems that on your record you're dealing with large cosmic concepts. Is The 11th Gate an acknowledgement of something significant? Well, I know it is.
Well, it's sort of inspired by the 11-11-11 phenomenon.
Yeah.
And which is a date attributed by some to usher in global awareness, sort of a collective human conscious thinking setting, you know. So I sort of decided to put the titles and the whole ethos of the album to center around that. So it's sort of the 11th thing, you know?
Tell us, it seems that there are these large cosmic concepts in terms of humanity. How does that relate? Am I on the right track? You know, humanity is a really big issue here for you.
In the current climate, with so many negative things occurring, you know, we sort of need to think more collectively to the positive, and that was, you know, for me, a real deep way of approaching all of the music that I decided to write for it. So yeah,
it's carved out its own area in music, because in terms of organ trios or organ music, often it's really much associated with a real sense of gut bucket R&B.
Yes, and again, I was very aware of not getting too much into the soul jazz of it within the context of Emergence. I just wanted something that really, really sung as a straight swinging tune with the breaks, with the stops, with the surprises. I think it's also important to say that a big influence for part of this song as well was the music of Empirical, which gave me a real buzz at the time when they first came out with their very first album. So there are all kinds of flavors in there, but mainly the Larry Young, yes.
The particular track, which is the 11th track on the record and finishes off the recording, is called The 11th Gate. And you've already given us an insight into the significance of 11 for you and the date. How have you approached writing a piece that represents this, The 11th Gate?
My old feeling of The 11th Gate was to look into myself and look on a very personal level, and sort of try and find a truth, if you like, in a truth in how I have represented our music is represented to me, or how best I can represent my music. And the truth of it for me is to go back to my jazz roots and to think of it more as a a personal truth, to just be plainly true to myself. It's more of an individual thing with me, but looking at the whole world as a global thing, you could say.
Well, let's have a listen to The 11th Gate. Dennis Rollins and his Velocity Trio, The 11th Gate, that was the title track. And Dennis, was it deliberate that it was 3 minutes 17 because each of those numbers add up to 11?
No.
Was that completely an accident?
That's a real accident. And it's kind of funny that the final track, the 11th track, is that. But no, that was a complete accident.
A cosmic accident.
Well, way out there.
I mentioned that the name of the trio, the Velocity Trio. You'll give us the significance of that name, but Ross Stanley plays the organ and Pedro Segundo plays the drums.
Yes, for me personally, it was a real revelation to meet both of these musicians. Ross has been on the jazz scene in this country for such a long time. What I get from Ross is that real flavour of inventiveness, and his lyricism is so close to the sound of Larry Young, and you know, it was an easy thing to be in a room with him just inventing. So that's Ross. Pedro, I sort of discovered Pedro through another musician. And as we hooked up in a rehearsal studio, and immediately, just with trombone and drums, we were, you know, having such good musical bouts that it was just, I could feel the direction of working with Pedro and looking at Ross in the mix, and it just felt right.
Well, I've had the great opportunity to speak to both Ross and Pedro, and when I was talking to Ross, he was talking so passionately about the music, you know, about the tradition of the music, which he respects deeply. But also, he was telling me just a little bit about his past, that he also was an organ scholar.
Yes.
And you know, this really plays into the diversity of the people drawn into the jazz universe. And Pedro, I have met him over the years, and I had the great fortune of going to his final recital at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. And, of course, who turned up there? Your good self and Ross, to offer your support and your playing for his final recital, which was immense, actually. So it seems that the three of you have this great sense of unity, not to tie in the album Unity, but there's definitely a unified and supportive feeling amongst the three of you.
Yes. One thing I really feel within the trio is, on stage and off the stage, there is this feeling of such naturalness. You know, everything feels so easy in terms of the general intuition. It's fantastic just in the way that we don't have to say anything. We, a lot of the times, don't even have to look at each other. It's that magical sense that you always strive for within the context of any combination that you play with.
Well, it's great because it transfers through the blood of the music. So, Motema Records, what is that organization?
Well, that is a label based in New York. It's run by a musician herself, a brilliant woman called Jana Hertzen. And they have artists like George Porter, Monty Alexander. It's just such a forward-looking label. If I say not scared to take chances, obviously they took a chance on the Velocity Trio. So, you know, it's great to be a part of a family that thinks forward and is supportive.
We're going to listen now to the track called The Big Chill.
The Big Chill I would say a good 15 years ago. It was written, ironically, at the time when I was working with the saxophonist Steve Williamson. And that song I've had sort of just sat there. The idea within the writing was to have a song which was firstly influenced really heavily by the Steve Coleman sound, the M-bass sound. Mm-hmm. And the idea was not to have a piece of music that had a tonal center, but to look at it as it could be any key, even though the sort of scale or the musical area was based sort of, if you like, on the whole tone scale or on the sus chord. So I decided to just try and write in a more percussive atonal area. So that's The Big Chill.
Well, Dennis, thank you for speaking with us. The Velocity Trio sounds fantastic on this new record called The 11th Gate, and I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you, Julian.
This is The Big Chill. We'll be right back. Big Chill from The 11th Gate, the new album by Dennis Rollins. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, and we are online, on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. Pianist Peter James attended the Royal Academy of Music with the likes of Tom Hooper, Christian Garrick, Jeremy Brown, Julian Jackson and Matt Skelton. He's certainly gathered momentum over the last couple of years. He'll be at the Pizza Express, Dean Street in London, on the 26th of February, playing music from his latest album and showcasing new material. From the album Soul Story, this is If the Hills Had Their Secrets. Thank you. Pianist Peter James with Jeremy Brown on bass and Tom Hooper on the drums. That was If the Hills Had Their Secrets from the album Soul Story on the Mulberry Tree label. Remember, you can hear Peter James and the guys at the Pizza Express London on the 26th of February. Well, another gem from our scene, the singing and songwriting of Canadian Tammy Wise, and a perfect song for the season from the album Where I Need to Be. This is I'll Spend Forever. Beautiful new song for Christmas and beyond. Tammy Wise and I'll Spend Forever from the album Where I Need to Be on the Boomtang label. co-written with Tom Corley, who took the piano solo. Al Cherry plays the guitar, Arnie Somogyi on bass, and Sebastian de Crom on the drums. And what is a beautiful record, full of great original songs, executed with passion and artistry. To end our Christmas festivities today, we turn to the music of Carla Bley, as applied to her 2009 album, Carla's Christmas Carols. Christmas carols and songs given the Bley treatment, featuring the bass work of Steve Swallow and the Partika Brass Quintet. This is Ring Christmas Bells.
Thank you.
Carla Bley and Ring Christmas Bells with Steve Swallow and the Partika Brass Quintet. That's out on the ECM label and takes familiar seasonal pieces and sprinkles the individual pen and playing of Ms. Bley for Carla's Christmas Carols. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you to my guests, Tina May and Dennis Rollins. And join me next week on Christmas Day for an exclusive concert by Jazz Lineup of Michael Garrick's Peter Pan Suite. Michael's jazz orchestra will be conducted by his son, Gabriel. This is our formal tribute, as this was to have been his concert. Tomorrow on Jazz on 3, join Jez Nelson with highlights from the GIO Festival. That's the Glasgow Improvisers Orchestra. Till Christmas Day, from me, Julian Joseph, I bid you a festive farewell, and I hope you don't mind if I dash, as I've got a very busy week ahead of me. Bye-bye.
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. Well, in this music, one writer's heard echoes of Alban Berg's Wozzeck, Arvo Pärt's Tabula Rasa, even the Sibelius of Tapiola. The music is the violin concerto written in 1993 by America's John Adams, the concerto taking its spiritual theme from poet Robert Haas's Body Through Which the Dream Flows. In fact, that's the title of the central slow movement, the last movement of fast dance-like toccata. And as for the solo line, much of it engaging the violinist in double-stopped passage work, Adams himself admits the solo part is almost never-ending, as he put it. That soloist here, Chloe Hanslip, with the Orchestra of Italian-Swiss Radio, conducted by Nicholas Milton.
Thank you.